every time you have a limiting belief that comes to mind that makes you feel, you know, negative, and you feel it in your body, so you physically know when those thoughts aren't really doing good for you. The first step is becoming aware of what that thought is. The second step is asking yourself, is that thought even mine? Most of the time, people find when they do this practice, the thought that they're thinking is not even theirs. It's something that was given to them from an adult's influence in their life when they were growing up, or maybe they were bullied as a child. They're judging themselves based on these subconscious beliefs that they have that are now manifesting into their business.
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. What's up? This is Tyler Basu. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. One of my personal favorite topics is mindset and personal development. I first started consuming personal development material around the age of 17 or 18, and it helped me create a complete turnaround in my life and eventually become an entrepreneur. And so to tackle this topic, I've brought on a special guest. Her name is Gianna Badeau, and she's been an entrepreneur for over 10 years, starting as a health coach, and she has since evolved into more of a mindset and marketing coach for other entrepreneurs, particularly health coaches. And so in our conversation today, we dig into some of that mindset stuff, and particularly some of the fears and limiting beliefs that can arise as you as an entrepreneur evolve through the different stages of your business, right from first getting started all the way through to building out your sales and marketing systems and reaching over six figures in annual revenue for your business. And as one of my own mentors often says, new levels bring new devils. So I'm excited to have you listen to this interview as we dig into some of those levels that you'll evolve through as an entrepreneur and how to optimize your mindset to embrace those levels, get through those levels, and then make it to the next level and keep growing in your business. So on that note, we'll dive right in. Again, this is Gianna Badeau on optimizing your mindset for leveling up as an entrepreneur. Well, Gianna, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today. I'm excited to chat with you.
Of course. I'm so happy to be here.
Now, you got started, you were 18 when you started your first business. I'm curious, did you grow up in an environment where starting a business was normal, or were you the odd one out? Was that something rare that you did for that age?
So I did grow up around a business. My dad owns a disaster restoration company. So he would pick me up from school. He'd be super busy. He'd be on the phone the whole time, and we'd just get like dropped off at his office. And from there, I'd be like running all over the office. Like I was the boss's daughter. So I loved the idea of like having my own company. And I secretly always knew I would be doing it for myself. The capacity that it's in has obviously evolved and shifted over time. But yes, I've come from an entrepreneurial family.
Cool. And then the first business that you started, it was coaching, right? Like health and mindset type. Can you tell us how you decided on that business model of all the things that you could have done at that time?
Yeah. So the reason why I went with the health coaching route was basically because my whole teenage life, I really struggled with body image and a lot of different things. So I guess it started from like, you know, having the wrong mindset, wanting to change my body and change who I was and not being happy with the person I was. So that led me down a path to really get deep into studying. I got certified into personal training, health coaching. And from there, I was 18. I just graduated high school, and I decided I was going to start taking wellness coaching clients. So my clients would come to my house. I would do check-ins and weigh-ins, and it's really surreal to look back on it now and to see, you know, how it all began. But that's really how it all started, and from there, it's evolved into different type of work that I do with clients today.
Cool, good for you. That's awesome to get into it so early. And who was a typical client for you at the time?
Well, a lot of them were my friends and family that knew me and knew I was so into health and fitness, because that was like my passion at the time. I was always working out. I used to do fitness competitions and things like that. So I was into training, and I think a lot of people were inspired by the discipline that I had for training, and they wanted to get in shape. So that was kind of my little niche there in the beginning, where like friends, family, and then it really slowly grew into like word of mouth.
Got it. Okay. And what I understand of your business now is that it's there's a lot more emphasis on helping people grow their business and with their marketing and that kind of stuff. So how did walk us through the evolution of how did you go from just focusing on health and mindset to then getting into this world of online marketing and helping people scale their business?
Yeah, it's always a funny story how these things evolve and grow. So basically what happened was I was doing a lot of in-person training, coaching for so many years. And then I decided I want to expand my reach. I want to reach more people. I want to grow online. And I heard of this online world. I watched a webinar. So I hired a business coach and she started helping me growing my health coaching business. And at the time, I was really struggling with sales. And it's ironic because I love teaching sales today. But I was really struggling with sales. And I wasn't closing sales. I wasn't doing very well with this whole online world. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It was a lot to take in, especially, you know, when you're new. Like, you're like, what is going on in this whole online space?
It's like a waterfall of ideas.
Exactly. I was like this vibrant health coach who just wanted to like get out there and help people. I'm like, wait, I have to like master all these skills. I have to be a salesperson. I have to like put myself out there every day. I was just used to the word of mouth people coming to me and saying, hey, train me. Hey, coach me. So this was totally different. So my business coach at the time, she said, you know what, Gianna, I think you're going to be great at sales. I need a salesperson. Why don't you join my team and take all my sales calls for me? And I'm going to take some of them. You can take some and I'll mentor you and I will train you along the way. So you get really, really good at it. And that obviously wasn't part of the plan, Tyler. But at the time I was like, you know what, this feels aligned. So I'm just going to roll with it. I could use some up and on my skills. I can do both businesses at the same time. And the job with my business coach really morphed into an everything type position where I was, you know, and she had a multiple six-figure business. So I was doing everything, Facebook ads, sales calls, like whatever she needed. Like I was kind of like her executive assistant / salesperson, like doing everything. And in that process, I was also working with her clients, coaching sales. I really developed this passion for working with entrepreneurs. So that's kind of where it all segued. And it turned out, got to the point where I was ready to do my own thing and to fully be on my own again. So that's how it all began.
That's cool. So you had a coach kind of take you under her wing, and then you learned sales and online marketing by getting to do it for somebody else before having to do it for yourself.
Exactly. So I always say like this path chose me. I didn't set out to be a business coach. I didn't set out to work on marketing. I was doing performance coaching and mindset coaching and like health and holistic health and wellness at the time. So it kind of just fell into my lap and I ran with it.
And what kind of people do you work with today? Like who are you most focused on serving, and what's that process you take them through when they're working with you?
Yep. So I primarily work with passion-driven coaches and consultants. A lot of them are health coaches, mindset coaches, performance coaches that have similar interests and passions that I do and how I started off. I feel like a lot of them are health coaches primarily. And I take them through a process, a five-step process that helps them, you know, start and scale an online business to get them to six figures. So that's kind of my little niche. I guess you could say I definitely draw in different types of coaches and consultants who aren't health coaches, but a lot of them are health coaches, I think, because they resonate with my story being a health coach in this industry. So that's really the niche, I think, at this point. And the process is five steps. So the first step I take my clients through is really like laying the foundation of getting the goals set, breaking down some of those limiting beliefs that may be in the way, like imposter syndrome and things like that. And I weave mindset work into everything I do because I, on top of everything else I've done, I'm also a yoga teacher. So we keep adding to the list here. It's very important to me that I weave that into the minds of my clients. And from there, you know, once we get that level, you know, the goal set and the foundation set, we know where we're going, then we move into really nailing that niche and getting aligned with, you know, who it is we want to help. I have so many health coaches that come to me and they're like, well, I'm just a health coach. So I do a lot of work with really nailing down like who it is that they actually help. And with that process, you know, there's a lot of imposter syndrome that comes up. Like, who am I to do that? So in that section of my process, I'm doing a lot of work on limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, and really refining like who they are, how they want to stand out, and getting them aligned with something that just lights them up. The second piece of it is creating their signature program. And I know a lot of coaches and consultants might say like, wait to create your program. I'm someone who has my clients kind of create at least a really strong baseline of it early on, because I found these newbies in the industry have a hard time having the confidence to sell their program if they don't at least have it outlined. So we go through the process of, you know, creating the program together. And then from there, we're moving into marketing. So all the fun digital marketing stuff. And in that section, it's really customized. I think everyone really needs a different marketing strategy. So it really depends on the client, what they need, where we develop the marketing. And then the last phase of this is diving into sales, which is obviously one of my favorite things to teach people, and most importantly, empower my clients to really like step into, because again, like I mentioned earlier, it's something I totally bombed at and struggled so hard with. So in sum, I know that's kind of a mouthful, but that's kind of the process in sum.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And you're absolutely right about there not being a one size fits all approach. So when it comes time to tackle that, the marketing, I mean, sales, I assume these are calls, they're selling over the phone, right?
Yeah.
But for the marketing itself, the way that somebody would generate their leads in the first place might be different from the way that somebody else does it.
Yeah. Yep. It depends like how much money they have, if they're going to invest in ads. I'm certainly well-versed in Facebook ads and funnels and things like that. But I don't really usually do that for newbies who are straight out the gate, because it's just way too overwhelming for them to watch their money go and not necessarily maybe not bring in clients right away because their sales skills aren't there. So it really, like I said, it depends on the client and where they're at.
Got it. Okay. Do you work with people that are entrepreneurs before you get started with them, or are you helping them like make that transition from maybe they're working for somebody else, or they have this skill but they haven't built a business around it yet, and you're like literally starting at step zero? Or do you already want to see some sort of traction before you start working with them?
I typically do like to see some kind of traction. And I find most of the people that come to me and find me are the people who have been trying things and it hasn't worked out for them. So that's really the type of person that comes to me where they're like, well, I've been posting on social media, I've been doing this and I've been doing that, and I have no clue what to do. It's not working. Those are typically the people that are coming to me.
Okay, cool. The main reason I wanted to have this conversation with you is not so much to dig into the tactical stuff, but to dig into the mindset stuff that's happening at mm-hmm. each of those stages that you're taking these entrepreneurs through. Because you and I both know, like, we can give somebody information, we can give them training. You see this in the seminar industry. You know, 1,000 people will be at the same event, get the same information, and then a small handful of them will actually do something and get the result, and everybody else just kind of gets in their own way somehow. And they all had the same opportunity. So I want to figure out, like, why are people getting in their own way? And what is going on in their head at each of these milestones that an entrepreneur goes through? So why don't we start with the foundation, that first part in your process of helping an entrepreneur grow their business. When you're focused on foundation and goals, what have you seen stopping people from even getting that foundation right? Like, what is it that's going on in their head that causes them to not even get past that and get something started?
Well, first and foremost, they have way too much going on in their head. So at that point, it's really like analysis paralysis, because they've been trying so many different things. They've been watching so many different entrepreneurs on social media. They're judging themselves because they think so-and-so is doing this and that. And so the first piece of it, when we get into like that first foundational stage, is I call it detoxing your mind. So I want all of those thoughts out of their head. And I walk them through a series of meditations, guided meditations, and also a really cool detox your mind practice, where you're just simply sitting down with yourself for 10 minutes, Tyler, and everything that's in your head about your business, dumping it out on a piece of paper, like just writing every single thing out, and then just releasing it, like energetically letting it go. And I find that my clients, they hear this, well, how's that going to help me? But it really does make a difference when you physically like see it out on paper, write it down, and then rip it up into shreds. Let it go. That's gone now. We're moving on. We're trying something new. Everything that happened before this is over. All those beliefs you had about yourself before, it's gone, right? So you're not thinking about any of that stuff anymore. And I do like to have them do this quite a bit throughout the program, because obviously new levels bring new limiting beliefs. So that is the first piece that I really like to bring people through is just like getting all that crap out of your mind, excuse my language, and just really like diving into like the essence of you. Because to get into the second phase of this, which is getting aligned with who you want to help, you have to shed all the other like layers on top of you, because you can't really figure out who you want to specifically help if you're not fully in touch with yourself, if you're too busy thinking about what so-and-so's doing or all the other people who you're following or your competitors are doing. So that's why the detox your mind section in my mindset work is so important, I think, in the first step of the work that I do with my clients.
Got it. Okay. And would you say that a lot of them are dealing with kind of information overload? Like they have access to too much stuff. They're listening to every podcast. They're reading every book. They're buying every course. Everybody's got a different advice for them. So how do you help them decide what to stop paying attention to and get really clear on what their priority should be for that stage, for that foundation stage that they're in?
Yeah. And they always all want to jump ahead.
Right.
You know, no one wants to do the first two stages. They all want to jump right into the creating their program and marketing. They don't want to do the, you know, alignment idea. No one really wants to do all that stuff. Everyone just wants to go into like making money right away. But I just bring them back to the core. I'm like, focus on what we need to do today with excellence. Focus on what we need to do with excellence. And then we move on to the next step. So the way I've set up my program, I drip the content out. Because I don't want them skipping ahead. Sometimes I ask for it early, and I do give it to them if they're ready. But most of the time, you know, I keep them right into the, I try to keep them all in that zone that they're in. And I tell them like, this is the zone we're in. This is the phase we're in. Before we go to stage three, you got to finish stage two. There's no way we can get to stage three without stage two. So it's really just, I guess, me as the tough love, like mindset health coach comes in, and I just try to keep it real with people in the most loving way and just get them back to being grounded. Because again, like it's so easy to slip out of that grounded state and to start thinking ahead. Like we're always thinking for the next thing instead of just being in the present moment and staying grounded in what we have to do today.
Mm, okay. No, that's great advice. When you start moving them into stage two, which is identifying their niche or their market that they most want to serve, I imagine, because I've heard the same thing from quite a few entrepreneurs, when you ask them, who do you help? They say, I can help everyone. you know, in your case, if you're dealing with health coaches, they might say like, everyone wants to be healthy, don't they? Like, I can help everybody.
They all say that.
So how do you reframe that for them into showing them the value in not trying to serve everyone and actually getting specific on the niche or the who the ideal client might be for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think with that, it's really telling them and not telling, but rather inspiring them to get into alignment with who they really are. Because I always say this, you're not for everyone. And I'm not for everyone, right? There is a specific type of person that I am for and that you are for. And if you are out there trying to talk to everybody, no one's going to follow you. No one's going to want to listen to you. So getting my clients aligned with who they are and being okay with who they are, like stepping into that person in such a big way and realizing that you have these unique stories, you have these unique gifts, these experiences, sometimes really painful experiences that you've been through, and you've been given them for a reason, right? So everything we've gone through has shown up into our life for a reason, right? So how can we use that in our business today to really hone in on a niche? Like, what are those things that are very unique to you and your life? And how do we really position that into your brand? And the mindset work in this section is a lot of imposter syndrome, to be honest with you. It's a lot of like, who am I? So-and-so's already doing this. So-and-so's already a gut health coach. So it's really like trying to eliminate that thought about everyone else and focusing in your own, like I like to call it, zone of genius. And, you know, no one has the same set of experiences, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. And this is easier said than done, especially when you're just getting something going. Like, you need to start making money soon to prove that you've got a real business here. And so there's a temptation to accept money from any client, anyone that's willing to pay you. And mm-hmm. not have the discipline to say no to the ones that don't fit that criteria of who you're most suited to serve. And so I think like people need to be okay with repelling and straight up like saying, no, you're not the best fit for this, even though they might really need the money in that moment. there's that period where you have to protect your time and your sanity by only saying yes to the people that are, I guess, the right niche. So in your experience, about how long do most people spend on this stage? Is there some trial and error in working with the wrong clients to kind of get clarity on who the right clients are for them? What's been your experience with that stage for people?
I like to have them spend like no more than 2 weeks. Some of them like to drag it out because they're so confused about who they want to help in the beginning. But I always tell them this can shift and evolve over time. And to be honest with you, I share a lot of my own story. The way I started is not how I've ended up, right? Things are going to evolve and shift for you over time. But what matters is what's happening today. And I think, you know, once you keep bringing people back to like the present moment, which is again, mindset work, they can really just get grounded and focused and forget about all those thoughts that are going on in their head that are making them feel like they're not good enough, or this niche isn't good enough, or it's not profitable enough and things like that. And the other piece of it is I warn them, if you start working with people who are not your ideal client just because you think you need the client today, it's really dangerous because you're going to be giving out so much energy to people that aren't going to show up and do the work, may not stick it out, and might not even pay you all your payments. If you're on a payment plan, they might quit early. And I want my clients to get big results because I happen to believe, you know, I don't want people to just go out there to make money. I want them to also make an impact, right? And a lot of the people that I work with, that's exactly what they want to do. So I'm really focused on impact and quality over quantity is really my little mentality on that.
Got it. Okay. No, that's really good advice. And so once somebody's clear on who they want to serve, the next step is creating the program or like the product, you know, whatever way that they're going to help that person. At the very least, outlining it, version one, something mm-hmm. that's presentable and that you can go and sell. What's stopping most people at this point? What are some of the stumbling blocks people run into when they're trying to develop their offers? Is it perfectionism? Is it procrastinating? Like, give me all the excuses you've heard from people that are like trying to get through this stage of creating their
program. It's definitely a lot of sorry for speaking over you, because I was like, you got it. It's perfectionism. It's usually a ton of perfectionism because, as you know, I'm sure you've created many products in your entrepreneurial career. The process can be a little bit overwhelming on the onset, but I've really made it so it's very simple to go through it. They have lots of worksheets. I give them every little thing they need to do. And a lot of my clients even tell me, I feel like you're walking me through the program while I'm in it. So that makes me feel really good. But something that I think goes on in their minds when they're sitting there by themselves creating their program is something that I like to call the inner critic versus the inner voice. And this is something that I've taught in a lot of my mindset programs. And the concept is at all times, we have these two voices in our head. One is our inner critic. This is the one that, you know, doesn't make us feel too good. It makes us feel like we're not good enough. Like no one's going to want this program. Like the worksheets I'm creating aren't good enough. What if this doesn't help anyone? And things like that. And then you have your inner voice, which is what I like to call your core self. The essence of you underneath all the layers that you've built up over it. So getting them to access that inner voice and create their programs from that place is really my goal at this stage, is to get them aligned with their core self so that they can create from that place and not from that inner critic. Because when you create from your inner critic, that's when nothing gets done, or you get like low level quality things done. So that's kind of my little stitch on that.
How hard do you find that it is to convince somebody that what they create doesn't have to be perfect and probably never will be, and help them to accept that no matter what they create, they might get some feedback they don't like? And like, how do you prep them for that?
Usually like when I do my calls, I really like to, you know, ask really a lot of questions to see like because they start asking me tons of questions. And I always know if there's a lot of questions, there's some uncertainty, there's some fear going on in there. So I like to ask back and ask why. And I think once we get into that point of, you know, the coaching session, a lot of people say it's like business therapy with me when I'm working with people. They say that all the time. I always laugh, but because I'm definitely not a therapist, so I'm not qualified to say I'm a business therapist. But, you know, it really depends on the person. Some people have a harder time with it than others. I think it doesn't take too long for me to get them out of that mindset in a one-to-one call or in a text message or, you know, some kind of a note. If I'm with them in the moment, it can usually snap them out of it pretty quickly.
What do you think is causing somebody's need to want everything to be perfect?
Well, they're afraid of failing. You know, if that inner vo- if they have that inner critic screaming so loud in their ears, running the show for them all day long, telling them that they're going to fail, they suck, this sucks, everything sucks, they're doing everything wrong, or things like that. And when you're, you know, when you're working alone on all the things in your business all the time, and you feel like you don't have the support from people around you, and you just have like this coach who's like, you know, virtually across the world, it can be, you know, you have your moments. But I think, you know, it's easy to just, you know, as quick as those moments can come, you can snap people out of it. So,
got it.
Just extending my support. They know they can reach out to me.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Let's talk about the transition into sales and marketing. So once somebody has, they've got their program, or maybe we call it version one of their program, but they're ready to start getting attention for their business and having those sales conversations with potential clients, what are some of the fears that show up at that point?
This is where a lot of anxiety comes up, probably more anxiety than anywhere else, because now this is the point where they have to put themselves out there, where they have to go be seen, where they have to show up on social media, where they have to go invest in Facebook ads if that's the route we're taking. And that can be really scary, and people can really get obsessive with it, right? Where you're constantly checking how the ads are doing, or you're constantly looking at your posts and seeing how many likes you got or how many story views you're getting. So when it comes to like mindset in this specific stage, it's really about rewiring their brain around being seen and trusting the process that, you know what, in the beginning, this might be a little bit difficult. It might be a slow start, but it's going to pick up if you just be patient. So I teach them a practice to rewire their thoughts in the moment. And I can kind of walk you through it if you want on here.
Sure.
If you think it'll be helpful for your audience. So basically what I have people do, it's a four-step rewire your thoughts process. And the first step is every time you have a limiting belief that comes to mind that makes you feel, you know, negative, and you feel it in your body, so you physically know when those thoughts aren't really doing good for you. The first step is becoming aware of what that thought is. The second step is asking yourself, is that thought even mine? Most of the time, people find when they do this practice, the thought that they're thinking is not even theirs. It's something that was given to them from an adult's influence in their life when they were growing up, or maybe they were bullied as a child. They're judging themselves based on these subconscious beliefs that they have that are now manifesting into their business. So once you ask yourself, is that even mine? Most of the time the answer is no. The third step rather is to ask themselves, is this actually true for me? Do I believe it? Do I believe it? Most of the time, the answer is no. They don't even believe that thought. And having that process to say like, what is the thought? Is it mine? Do I believe it? And then step four is to just rewrite that thought. So you're reframing the thought process. So I teach my clients how to do that so that when they are going through this, you know, maybe a little bit more of an anxious time than putting yourself out there, to really like understand what's driving that? What's driving that anxiety? What's behind it? And is it even real? You know, most of the time it's not real.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I think as we do something that's new, that takes us out of our comfort zone, right? And so that's a trigger point for when you're growing in some way, there's bound to be some discomfort and some of those thoughts that show up. How long should we expect it to take to kind of reset ourselves or work through getting from one stage to the next in our business? About how long does it take to get comfortable with that next stage and fix some of that mindset stuff that's happening during that transition period?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So I think there's two ways to answer this. First of all, it's really about consistency. So building that awareness of, you know, catching those thoughts, becoming more mindful, slowing down your thoughts. And I like to have all my clients have some kind of a meditation practice or mindfulness practice to just slow down their body, slow down their mind every single day. So that's like the first piece of it. From a more like tactical standpoint, I like to say it takes about at least minimum 2 weeks to actually make at least a difference. Because mindset work, Tyler, it depends on how long these thoughts have been ingrained into them, right? So if these are like deep rooted, like big subconscious beliefs, it might take a little bit longer. But if you're consistent, I'd say minimum 2 weeks is a really good time frame to really make some big changes and big, you know, big habit changes as well.
Got it. Let's touch on sales. When it's time for people to jump onto sales calls and potentially face rejection or a no from somebody that's not the right fit, or for whatever reason, doesn't want to take them up on their offer, What are some of the anxieties or fears that you see come up, and how do you help people go through those?
Mm-hmm. So sales for me is all about stepping into your power, right? Realizing that when you are on a sales call, you have to really be confident in yourself and be ready to, like I like to say, lead the dance, be in charge. And for some people that can be very difficult. So there's a lot of level of empowerment that goes into this. I think for a lot of people, they have these beliefs about sales. They feel uncomfortable talking about money. They have all these subconscious beliefs about asking for money and you know, it's bad to ask for money and all those things. So we do a lot of, you know, work around that. And a lot of that process that I just taught you guys on here really goes in with money mindset as well. But for sales, I like to call it stepping into your power as a salesperson. And when you do that, you have to detach yourself from everything else in your life. So I call it like stepping into role, right? So you're not a coach when you're on a sales call, you're not a marketer, you're not a wife, you're not all the other things you are. You have to like physically tune out everything else in your world and just step into this role of a salesperson, stepping into your power. And there's a lot of different practices I have people do when they go on sales calls, like getting rid of all their distractions around them, closing out all their tabs on their computer so they're not distracted, and really just staying in the moment and staying present. Because as you know, when you're on a sales call, there's so much going on, right? You're listening, you may be taking notes, you're strategizing, you're empathizing. So you really have to just stay in your physical body as much as you physically can. And when you start going, you know, on that hamster wheel of thoughts, thinking, oh, well, they don't have the money or this or that, then you're out of your body. Then that's where you lose sales, because you're not paying attention to what's actually happening in the call.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you ever have people come to you and say that they don't like selling, or maybe their perception of sales is that it's manipulative or pushy, or, and they don't want to step into that type of a role as a salesperson? What do you say when that's the concern?
Well, yeah, that's actually the exact opposite of how I teach people to do sales, right? So the process that I teach my clients is very, I don't want to say it's feminine, but, It's a process. I like to say you're qualifying someone on this call. Like, you're not going into the call trying to hard sell somebody, right? You're going through a process almost like an interview to see if this person's even a good fit. You cannot help every single person that you have on a sales call. They're not all going to be a good fit. So you're getting on there without any expectations, just to sit, take in someone's pain, understand if you can solve that pain. And if you can, understanding like if they can pay for it right now, or if they're actually ready. You might be on a call with someone and they're like, well, I want to start 6 months from now. Well, that's not like really acceptable to be on a sales call today, right? If you have 6 months to go before it's time to begin. So that's a lot of it, is really, it's mindset shift, right? It's not about a hard sell. It's about getting on the call and having a conversation. It's like networking, finding out if you actually want to work with this person.
Yeah. And I think that approach takes the pressure off a lot of people. Like, I've been through that type of sales training. I did like door-to-door sales like 10 years back. Mm-hmm. And the type of training just felt so icky.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it worked, but it was a numbers game. Like, I would have to talk to 50 to 100 people and just eat rejection all day long to get a couple of sales, because that was just the environment it was. But in this type of environment, the consultative approach of really trying to figure out if you can help the person based on where they are, based on what they want to do, and your process of helping them get there, is there a good fit? And that, I think, alleviates the pressure of needing to be pushy or try to like use some sort of sales technique to help someone make a decision or whatever.
Yeah.
Which nobody likes that stuff anyway. Like, I don't like being sold that way. I'm sure you probably don't either.
No one likes to be sold. I always say that too.
Right.
No one likes it. If I feel like I'm being sold, I am out the door. You know, I'm like, I'm sure you've been there. If you feel like, I get so many cold DMs like on Instagram and things, and I just don't respond, right? I mean, if someone takes the time to just get to know you, then you're like, hey, yeah, like I kind of like this person. Like, we might be able to work something out here. So it's really about building relationships. And I think a lot of times with this online world, we forget about, these are actually really real people, right? Behind their Instagram handle or behind their Facebook picture, it's a human, right? And we think about this as like a human, it really changes things. Like, this isn't just a number. It's a human being who needs help.
That's a great point. We've taken an entrepreneur through all five stages. They've chosen their niche. They've got a program to sell. They got marketing in place. They got a sales process in place. They're generating revenue now. In your case, your goal is to get them past the six-figure mark in annual revenue. At that point, somebody is now, they can now say like they have a real business. They're an entrepreneur. They, you know, they're in a position to not have to work for others, and they kind of have more control of their own life and of their income. Does that scare people? Does actually like making more money than perhaps they did in some previous job or career, does that bring up any sort of issues around money itself? And if so, what has come up with some of the people you've worked with, and how do you help them deal with the fact that they actually have a real business and they're making good money now?
I think a lot of them are really excited. I don't think they're necessarily like, they feel bad that they're making money per se. I think what a lot of them feel is like, well, how do I make this, you know, where do I go from here? Everyone's always thinking the next step. So I think there's a lot of stuff that comes up around fear and like, well, what if this doesn't last and things like that. So I think if anything, that's usually what people are feeling like is, okay, like what's next? What's the next thing I get to do next? What do I create next? What kind of coaching can I do next to take this to the next level? Like all of us want to do. Once we reach one level, we want to get to the next one. So that's really what I find is people are really eager to say, well, what can I do next?
Yeah. And that's when it gets exciting. Like when you're no longer worried about covering your own expenses and money is no longer your primary motive because you know it's coming and you have a way to generate it on demand. You have the sales and marketing in place that's getting that done. Now you get to do things not just because you need the money, but you get to do things more out of passion and out of doing things that bring you fulfillment and joy and help you reach more people and create more impact and all that kind of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's the fun part, right? That's why we want to get there, for the freedom.
This is good. We managed to touch on quite a bit here. I really appreciate it. I have just a couple more quick questions for you and then we'll wrap up. In terms of maintaining mindset, because as we evolve through each of these stages, you know, we're doing things to address limiting beliefs or fears that come up as we're leveling up in our career or in our business. What can we do to help prevent ourselves from slipping back? Because I have seen that happen. I have seen people push themselves out of their comfort zone. They're chasing a goal. You know, it's uncomfortable actually achieving that goal, and then they kind of retreat back to where they were comfortable. If you've seen that happen, or if you have a way of preventing that from happening, what are some of the habits or routine type stuff that you have people do to maintain that growth-oriented mindset?
That's a great question. That's where the real work really starts. It's one thing to have someone guiding you through this incredible process and helping you and holding your hand along the way. But what happens when you're out in the world on your own again, right? And you're running this business. And the best thing that I tell people is this: there's no end to the work you do on your mindset. It has to continue, especially as an entrepreneur. It does not end. It is a practice. Every single day, you have to do work on your mindset, whether that be doing the detox your mind list, whether that's hypnotherapy, whether that's meditation. Choose something that you can implement into your daily life that you know you can do every single day. And you want to make sure it's realistic, right? Because if it's not realistic, you're not going to do it every day. So for me, I've done a lot of hypnotherapy over the years and I love it, but sometimes like I can't sit for 30 minutes and fit it into my day. So I make sure my practice is I meditate and just sit in stillness for at least 5 minutes every single morning before I do anything else. And that's my practice. Of course, I do lots of other mindset work in my life, but every day that's my staple. I know I come back to that every morning. So whatever it is for you, you want to pick something that you can realistically do so that you do it every day and realize that this is not like, you know, there's no end goal to this mindset work. Every time you reach a point, you're going to need to get to a new level of your mindset. These levels don't just end. We're not the Buddha. We're not going to reach enlightenment, right? So, and we're not going to be like just sitting there and we're like, oh, we achieved the goal. We're all like, there is so much shit in this world being thrown at us at all times. And if you do not have a strong foundation and a practice to come back to every day, you're going to get knocked down. I actually learned this the hard way. I've done a lot of mindset work over the years and I, you know, very deep mindset work where I've traveled and studied Buddhist psychology in places like India and Cambodia and Tibet. And I was so in tuned with it, but then, you know, I got a little bit lazy with it and I started, you know, getting into online entrepreneurship and I kind of fell off my practices and I paid for it big. I was, my mindset was a wreck and I realized, wow, This was not an end goal. This is a lifetime thing. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching people mindset, because it doesn't matter how good you get at it. It's not about getting good. It's about consistency in a practice. So that's my spin on that. It's a practice. You have to do it every day. Make time for it. It's just as important as everything else you do in your business.
Yeah. No, that's such a good point. And that rule of consistency applies everywhere, right? Like, we can't go to the gym one time and then think that we never have to go again. You know, we can't, you know, give our spouse a compliment one time and think that we never have to compliment them again. Like, there's a consistency to maintain all of these areas of our life at a high level. Otherwise, if you stop doing the things that add value to those areas of your life, then they start to suffer, right?
Absolutely. And there's a great quote. It says, I do yoga, I meditate, I do the mantras, and I still want to punch someone in the face. I don't know if you've seen that before, No. But I laugh every time I see that, because there's no way you become this enlightened being. You're not going to be perfect at this mindset work. You're going to have moments. You know, I have my days where I get very angry, right? I have my days where things happen, and that's why we have the practice. It's not to eliminate the problems. I mean, life is full of problems, and that will never end. Once we accept that, you know, our journey is much easier.
Good point. Who do you learn from? Who are you like drawing inspiration from? Are there any like people or resources that are helping you for the stage that you're at and for where you want to go next with your business?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Over the years, I think I went into a point where I was in information overload as well, where I was reading every single book I possibly could in terms of mindset and business. And then I got to a point where I was like, you know what, Gianna, you've taken in so much. I have bins, Tyler, of books in my basement. I live in a Boston apartment, so I don't have a big enough bookshelf for the stuff yet. So I had to say, okay, it's time to just like get into my own zone of genius and get out there and implement. So I kind of went through a phase for a couple of years where I was just not taking in information anymore and just allowing myself to be and to like implement it. But today, the person I'm really resonating with is Scott Oldford, because he's really big on mindset and consciousness. And that's kind of where I'm moving into, is like a deeper study into mindset and like the levels of consciousness that we have and things like that. So at the moment, that's the person I'm really like taking in a lot of, inspiration from, like in terms of like mindset and of course strategy, because we all know he's like, you know, a genius.
Yeah. I know Scott. I've been followed his work for a few years now. I'm very impressed by everything that he's done. He's helped a lot of people for sure. One last question. Is there anything that you feel like we didn't touch on? Is there one last piece of advice or action step you'd like to leave entrepreneurs with? You know, maybe something to do right, or maybe a mistake to avoid, like whatever comes to mind for you.
Well, when you asked that question, the first thought that came to mind was chase your fears. Because there are so many things that are going to come at you in life that you're going to be afraid to go do when you're in your business, right? You're going to be afraid to go post that video. You're going to feel afraid people are going to judge you. Whatever you feel afraid to do, I challenge you to just go do it. And I call this chasing fear. I'm actually planning to write a book on this topic someday. It's in the works. So go out there and chase your fears. Do the work you feel called to do. Who cares what anyone thinks? Who cares what your ego says? Who cares what your inner critic says? Just go chase your fears.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gianna. This was a pleasure, and I appreciate you sharing your story and your insights with us.
Thank you, Tyler. I'm so happy to be here and honored to be on your podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to the Influence and Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.